podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to the Cop Update for Friday, the 14th of January. I got that spot on straight from the start. I'm absolutely delighted with myself, and I didn't even prepare it, which is great. I've brought the head of everything at the LSE Day Trippers with me today, Shawnee, who's going to run through all this stuff in the next half an hour. Shawnee, how are you?
Good. I'm surprisingly still pissed off at the last night's result, which is not like me, to be honest with you, because I do be foul in the hours after. And then I'll be grand the next morning, but I'm increasingly annoyed because how smug Arsenal have been over the whole thing. We just should have never allowed that to happen.
Smug over a nil all draw?
Yeah. It is what it is.
Okay. They are where they are. But we know Shawnee knows how this show works. Everybody there knows how this show works in the chat. 30 minutes or so to get through as much as we can. And we'll ask a question of you throughout this as well. You were brutal at the Thursday teaser yesterday. I had one guy, I won't name him, came up to me afterwards or got on to me by WhatsApp yesterday and went, the answer's fucking such and such. And I went, no, it's not. And he was like, it is. And I was like, you're 9 away. And he was like, no, Mane. And I was like, Mane were 19 in the European Cup final 2018. And he was like, you fucking prick. So he says he wasn't happy with that. But we'll have another Thursday teaser next Thursday at Monday Memories on Monday. But today we just have a question for you, and we're going to ask it in about 10 minutes and then we get into it. But Shawnee, off the back of the game yesterday, Klopp reports no extra injury concerns for Brentford. We were talking about it on the show last night. I mean, Kev, feel that team that you seen last night might be fairly similar to what you see on Sunday. That was his whole motive behind naming them yesterday.
Yeah, like, I don't, without being hyperbolic or knee-jerky, I never want to see that midfield again. That's just the truth. That midfield didn't work 4 years ago. It's not going to work now. That's just the way I see it. And it's not a dig at any one individual on their own. It's just as a group, it doesn't work. And you're kind of seeing the only games we've looked really good in this year is when we've had that balance in midfield. And we've struggled when we haven't. We've scraped a few results and then we've given up leads. So I don't want to see it, Gav. I genuinely don't. I'd much rather see Curtis Jones or Ox in there with Hendo Fab. I think Milner has run his race, and it's been an incredibly long, illustrious, prestigious, professional race. And it's not a slight on him. The fella's 36, but you can see that the legs are gone now, at this level anyway, for exactly what we need.
This is the point I was trying to make last night. If you're going in a functional midfield where you're looking to protect something, and you work as a really tight tree that allows others to do certain things, i.e. the fullbacks and the forwards, I'm okay with it. But when you go into it with the way Liverpool have tried to play this midfield, which is a protector, a controller, and somebody to get involved going forward in a bigger way, that just didn't work. It just didn't work. And Henderson even hasn't worked in that position for a little while now. And when you look at, and then on top of that, when you look at what's up front, you don't have blistering pace in Salah. You don't have the, you can argue over Mane's form, but you don't have somebody that will...
The ingenuity.
And will actually go to defend, get to an end line. You know the sort of way. So when you look at these three up front that want to kind of play wall passes off, you be intricate and stuff like that, you need someone from midfield that's going to go, right, I'm getting in amongst this. And even if I'm just freeing up space for some of these to do what they're doing, good. But it just didn't work. I mean, we just have to move on from it. There's loads and loads of comments coming in here now. If you're watching, please hit the like button. Please hit the subscribe button. Share it if you can. And also make sure you comment and get involved here, because that's all we ask of you. As you can see on the screen, hit the like button. 40 plus shows per month now for free on YouTube and across all your podcast platforms.
Getting on that as well, Gav, we chatted about it last night amongst ourselves. I'd play Kay Gordon on Sunday.
Yeah.
I'm not even joking you. Oh, I would. I would. I'd push Jota out left. I'd put Bobby through the middle, and I would play Kay Gordon on the right. Genuinely, because we know what we get now with Hagi. and he's a decent squad option. He's not a starter. Like, and he's good in pre-season and all of that. And but Klopp doesn't trust him. You only have to look at the amount of minutes he's played when available in the Premier League. And that would tell you. Like, so it is what it is. Like, I really do. And this isn't easy because I think this is, it's been coming around the corner, sort of. Like, obviously we've struggled with COVID, but we are starting to see now the effect of the lack of refreshing that this squad has had over the last 3 or 4 years. It's starting to catch up on us now. And I see everyone is throwing out the Elliot card. Like, not one person would have had Elliot down to play midfield this year. Like, his role was kind of... No, his role was to... Basically, he was taking Shaqiri's spot in the team. And he plays very well at Burnley. And he does... He plays well at home to Chelsea and does really well. He's playing well. Let's just say that. But we haven't done what needed to be done. Did Gav? We crowd on someone. Now, we did shows in the summer for the crack and we were selling 15, 16 players, some of the lads, and buying 7 and 8. But I think when we all came to our senses, we all agreed that we need the defender. So we cannot die in early doors. And we need a combative midfielder with legs, someone of the ilk of a Basuma. Now, we're not just saying this off the back of him being good this year. We were saying this in the summer because we were linked to him. And we were saying, and another forward if you can get Origi out the door. But yeah. I don't. We haven't been ruthless enough, Gav. And although we're not in the league of City or Chelsea financially, their owners would have just cut their losses with a Keita or an Ox in the summer and brought in a midfielder who would be used to us. Because you look at now, in fairness, their availability hasn't been an issue, Gav, but look, I stand to my point. This was the fucking time of the season where we needed Origi more than any other.
Yeah.
And he's not available. And then you call into it, if he's available, is he even good enough?
Yeah, no, there's loads of questions. That's what's going to lead me to the question now in a couple of minutes. But overall, like, it did show up frailties last night. Because like people would say, I genuinely believe that team should have won the game last night. Now some people in the chat, not in the chat, in the comments afterwards were saying, no, that team isn't good enough. And listen, by all means, keep banging the comments in after the shows. But I felt looking at that, come on. You know, they are good enough, but the balance was completely wrong. But look, it's for another day. Yeah, I'm sure.
You know what annoyed me? We'll talk about the Arsenal games. You know what actually annoyed me the most? It was what I read something this morning. Obviously, you go up flicking through the news and Arteta turns around and goes, our midfield three was brilliant. Do you know who that midfield three was for 70% of that game?
Yeah.
Martinelli, Saka and Lokonga. Yeah. Two of them are wingers. One of them is a midfielder who shit his pants at Anfield in the league. And we did nothing to trouble them. Did absolutely nothing. It was hoofball in the middle. It was so frustrating. Honestly, that's for me. That's worse than watching the 7-2 against Villa because you can get banged like that on any given day. Yeah. But it was just banging our heads against the wall for 90 minutes. It's so fucking difficult to watch.
But you see, the thing is, like, it is difficult to watch. But when you look at, I'm not talking about the quality of personnel. I'm talking about the selection of certain personnel. Like, I'm not saying Jordan Henderson isn't good enough to play in Liverpool midfield from one game to the next. Milner, I think, I agree with you. I think his race might be run and it looks like he'll go in the summer. But what I'm saying is to complement what you have to use up front, because you're missing the lads and you're missing Origi because of injury, to complement that, you do need something from midfield that's that spark that breaks a few lines, that looks for a killer pass. And it doesn't matter, Curtis Jones, could be Curtis Jones.
Yeah, he looked good when he came on.
Yeah, do you know what I'm saying? The chemistry just wasn't there in that team, and it showed. Delvin Jones says, we're literally in the middle of a transfer window. We had all summer to prepare, and we only signed Kanate. Not enough. Not replacing Gini is criminal. Sorry, something isn't right in the club, he feels. Listen, Delvin, I keep saying it. We're going to see come the end of this window, and we're definitely going to see come the end of August, because we've all been thrown the line since the end of last August that 2022 is the year that Liverpool see to be rebuilding the squad. Now, people will say to you, it's 2022 now. It is. But our history in the January transfer window is that we don't do much business. So it's going to be a huge summer. And let's put it on record. It has to be it has to be a very productive summer for Liverpool, not only for refreshing a squad and moving players on that just haven't done it for you, but also giving Jurgen Klopp the tools that he needs in what's going to be his last two seasons at Liverpool. I'm in no doubt it's his last two seasons. But let's move on, because we'd be here all fucking day. Liverpool have made an appointment within the club, seeing this today. And Leeds, it says here, Liverpool have added a key appointment behind the scenes as they seek to grow the revenue of the club further in the coming years. Owners Fenway Sports Group have hired Michael Higham, ex-head of sponsorship at Spanish La Liga club Sevilla, to the newly created role of partnership development director, where the former Arsenal and Manchester United employee tasked with growing the Red sponsorship portfolio alongside the existing commercial team, according to Sports Business. Now, I'm hoping that isn't an article from 3 years ago. It literally popped up on my feed today, but I've never heard his name. But there's an appointment, again, looking for more revenue into the club, and that will only spur on people that are upset about what we do with our revenue. But that's
well,
the way
Gary, it goes. We're getting to a stage now where, like, I hate that these fuckers are making all them nuts look like they're right. Because it is a case of us being bean counters every single window amongst the fan base. And no matter how you feel about them, I understand what FSG have done for the club, but I'm looking now thinking, is it sustainable with the current state of football? No, it's definitely not. And like the way I see it is, right, look, they brought Klopp in and they built a house with him, right? We had the three walk dogs in midfield. That was the first kind of characteristic of this team. And then we built this world-famous front three. And then the back four with the goalkeeper. But we're at a stage now where the midfield is weathered. And all three of that front three, their contracts are up next summer. Yeah. So if you don't fucking renovate the house, what are you going to end up with?
Well, that's the thing. Like, we're definitely going to be talking.
And everyone else is outspending us.
Yeah, but for the rest of this month, you're definitely going to have to look at it. And I was thinking about it last night with regards to January, and I was definitely thinking with the summer. And I genuinely believe, and I'll put it on record, Liverpool need to make four proper signings between now and the end of August. Four. I'm happy with four. I don't want 7, 8. I want four proper signings. But we get into that as the weeks and months go on. Super chat from Jordy T says, it's the situational awareness for me. The second they were down to 10, Jones should have been on. Fair enough, Milner against 11, Klopp and players' fault. Yeah, look, we said loads about this last night, and Shawnee spoke very well about it this morning or this afternoon. So we just have to move on from it. It wasn't good. Everyone knows it wasn't good. It's shown some frailties there, and again, it's kind of magnified them, and we'll have to see where we go. Villa are outspending us. Villa are outspending us. They've taken a player in a loan and spent money on a fullback. Yeah,
not worried about Villa.
But it's not there. It's where it's a level up where you need to look.
It's Man. Arsenal and Spurs I'd be looking at.
Yeah, yeah.
And the likes of them, because they will. Like, Arsenal have spent mad money, and they will get it right. And when Klopp is our equaliser. He's the great equaliser at the moment. Like, in the same way City have millions and millions born in cash, we have Klopp, who is he's an actual cheat code. If he was backed, nobody would come close to us. And I'm not buying the shite that Klopp doesn't want to sign players and he's too loyal. He's not fucking too loyal. If he was too loyal, these fellas would be playing week in, week out. He doesn't trust them.
I think there is a bit of blind loyalty. I do believe that. But on the same side of it, I think he's ended up with players he's ended up not trusting. So, and he's either not playing them because he doesn't trust them, or he's being too loyal, and that's not a good mix. But having said that, you know, as I said, he has 2 years left for me, and something radical is going to have to happen, or he's going to be treading water for 2 years and then walk
this
away.
This will be a huge missed opportunity.
It'll be a crime. It'll be a crime if he doesn't add more trophies and be backed for more trophies. It absolutely will, because I'm telling you, he's the best manager we've had since Bob Paisley. It's a simple
And the thing is, they didn't sign on anyone. Everyone goes, well, we didn't sign on anyone after we won the Champions League. We went on to win the league. Yep, we were perfect in 2019-20, and we had huge amounts of luck, if I'm being honest, on the injury front. Like, the spine of the team was available for 28 games, probably bar Alisson, who missed the start of the season. Mm-hmm. But that catches up on you. Like, that's starting to haunt us now. And like, we won't have him forever. And you have to think now, like, the talk is about Mao's contract. I'm not 100% certain it's all about money. I'd have a feeling that Mao is going, where is this club going? Because I want to be winning major honours up until the day I'm not playing anymore. So I want to know what you're going to do to make sure we're doing that.
Yeah,
and I do have a feeling that is being called into question.
It could be, but that's where, when you say, like, or I say, if you need four signings. Surely I'm not the only one thinking that. I don't mean that between me, you, the chat here, or Liverpool fans. There has to be players around the club going, listen, we need three or four here. You know, they can outwardly talk as much as they want, but internally they must be looking, going, not only to be challenged themselves, but to feel that, you know, if we look to the bench or we have a player out or suspended or injured, there's somebody there that's going to come in and be as good, you know, the sort of way. But listen, there's loads to talk about. I want to ask you about this thing. Youssef Denor. I seen an article today on Youssef Denor. Rapid Vienna player, went to Barcelona on a loan, where Barcelona, if you played him for more than one or two games, had to pay £8 million for him. They haven't. They've given him 72 minutes of football and he's gone back to his parent club. He's very young. I think he's 18. In 2021, he had 9 goal contributions in 839 minutes for Rapid Vienna. He's gone back to them. And the article that I read today was just saying, look, this guy is a massive, massive talent. Barcelona's financial situation has opened up a door for somebody to go and take him. And the person writing the article said Liverpool should most definitely be one of those looking at him. Do you know the player? What do you think? £8 million, should we be keeping an eye on that?
I've seen him briefly. He has looked decent, but he didn't stand out against any. We did a show about Barca's academy and the players that he had there, and he never got a mention. So that'll kind of tell you. And if he was, like, they would find a way to pay him and keep him if they felt he was going to be worth anything, to be honest with you. So I don't think he's... We shouldn't... this is the problem. Like, why are we shopping in that basket?
No, it's one of those that comes up, and I think, and people go, everyone likes a young signing for X amount, regardless of what you're in. You get one and you go, oh,
he's not what we need. We need somebody who's able to play yesterday.
Yeah. 40-year-old Virgil says, I like Demir. He likes him. Look, I'm not saying if I wanted four signings, that's one of them. I'm saying just at £8 million for an 18-year-old, you go, oh, you know. But then again, you get Lazar Markovic vibes, and then it's like, no, fuck that, leave it where it is. But I just wanted to ask you about it. The question I want to ask people, while we get into the last 10-15 minutes of this, is what would you do in January? What would you do in January? Now, take into consideration that you have a summer coming up, take into consideration who we have on the squad, and take into consideration, you know, the way the January transfer market goes. I don't want people coming in here going, just do Mbappe and be done with it. Be realistic and tell me what you would do in January. I'm going to ask Shani the same question, get him to answer it in a couple of minutes. And then we'll get some of your replies before we finish. As I said, if you're watching, hit the like button, subscribe, share, all that sort of stuff, but most importantly, comment, because that's what keeps it going. Burnley versus Leicester is off, Shani. Burnley now have 5 games to reschedule. They haven't asked for one game to be off, but they now have 5 games to reschedule. Where are they fitting these in? It's fucking mad.
I don't know. I don't know what fucking... I'll say a prayer for Sean Dyche. He's had a rough start to the new year, the fella.
Yeah.
It's not looking good for him, sure it's not.
No, with Chris Wood going to Newcastle, you have to find a replacement there.
Yeah, hold the rope. And you know what? He's worked miracles really there at Burnley with his outlay, and he's agreed to stay on when he's definitely good enough to manage another team. I know he gets a bit of stick because he's a bit of a Bovril head, bit of a roast beef head, but I don't know, Gav. The league is mad. I just can't get myself up for any of this because there's like zero certainty.
Yeah.
Like, I was running away with the Fantasy League and I haven't even looked at it. Because
what's the point? I was really proud of myself.
Yeah, I don't know where they're going to fit it in. But you know what? Burnley were one of the clubs that were vehemently against the 5 subs. And he was one of them talking about Liverpool having big squads and all and having to play midweek games. So we'll see how they get on now. Yeah. It's sort of a taste of the medicine for them, so I'd say they'd be all crowned for 5 subs now.
Well, that's the thing, even though he hasn't asked for one off, he's going to end up playing about bleeding 10 games in 20 days at this rate, you know, to try to get out of the way. couple in the chat have said there that there's talk of Tottenham and Arsenal getting hooked at the weekend now because Arsenal supposedly only have 12 players available now. So that's a good one. Keith Plunkett of this parish says Bellingham, Tchouaméni, Diaz or Rafinha and Ward-Prowse for him in the summer. He's putting names on it, so fair play. Red Jabby said Ward-Prowse number one. He can at least take a free kick and a corner. Just sub him on for free kicks and corners.
Ooh, Jesus, don't mention the war.
One more thing. Well, no, there's a couple more things. Apparently, Inter have been alerted to the fact that Liverpool may let Divock Origi go for free in the summer. He's not out of contract in the summer. Liverpool have an option to extend for one more year. But Inter have been alerted by the fact that Liverpool may not take up that option and Origi may leave the club for free in the summer. Does that sound a bit ridiculous to you, Shani? Because I think it does to me. If you're going to let him go for free in the summer, call it now and get your money. Get a few quid out of it. Or is it worth it just keeping him on board and, you know, not renewing? I don't know. Did you renew in the summer for a year and then get rid of him? I don't fucking know.
If you renew the Origi, he'd hang around anyway. That's just the way he is. And I think I wouldn't level all of that at the club. I know they've been probably a bit cheeky with the prices that they've asked. But apparently there's been times when we'd have agreed plenty of deals, but he just wasn't arse gone. And he strikes me as the most laid-back, unmotivated bloke you'll see. And if he knows, I'll take another 12 months at Liverpool on my current wage and I'll move on, because he's still young. And he knows when his contract is up. So I'd say probably the club are looking like, going, do you know what? Just get him out now instead of paying him for another year when he's not much use to us, if I'm being honest to us.
Well, a few people there have said they don't feel he will renew. Passio says the option is depending on him starting a number of league games. That's what Passio believes.
That's probably true, yeah.
It could be true, absolutely. I'm not saying it's not because I don't know any different. Akash Shriv says if LFC want to challenge for the title, they need to get rid of Origi, Taki, and Milner. Hendo, Ox, and Kate, they should be squad players. We need at least two starting quality midfielders, one quality forward, and one squad option forward. I don't want the squad option forward. I want the top of the range forward. That's being honest with you. But I like your idea. I really do. If you're going to tell me what you want to do in January, throw names on it. I need you to throw names on it. I don't want a forward and a midfielder. I want names. I want you to tell me what you would do. Bissouma. We did say yesterday that Graham Potter has been asked,
be the one.
Well, he's been asked, Graham Potter, Sean, I don't know if you've seen the show yesterday, but he's been asked, has anyone contacted you with regard to Ian Bissouma? And his one word answer, nope. Okay. But the report is coming out is that Newcastle.
He goes into his last year, doesn't he? He's 18 left, I think.
He could do, yeah, in the summer, yeah. But the report is saying that Newcastle and Aston Villa have inquired about Ian Bissouma, but the player himself wants to move to a bigger club than either of them. Now, Villa is a huge club. Newcastle are a big club. And
yeah, he's better than that, though. He should be playing the Champions League.
He's talking about a Champions League club.
Yeah.
50 million is still the rumoured number. Would you go and look, I'm going to ask you now then. What do you do in January, Shawnee? Is Ian Bissouma the one for you where you go 50 million, bang on the table and take him?
Him. No questions asked. Him. Gav, we watched him in the flesh. Yeah, he battered us. He bullied us.
And he wasn't meant to be playing. Do you remember?
And he was a live fitness test.
Yeah.
And he battered us. He ran all over us. He's brilliant on the ball. He's competitive. He's strong. He's definitely the one. You've seen what he done at Stamford Bridge a few weeks ago. He's going to kick on. He's with better players. Everyone going on about the off the field show. We know fuck all about it.
Yeah, correct.
It seems to have just died. We know fuck all about it. If you're going to be signing footballers based on the moral companies, then you're shopping in a very, very small market, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Because all of these lads have skeletons in their closet. He has to be the one, guy. Yeah. And it should have been the one that was done in the summer. Bissouma reminds me of Genie when we first got him.
David Wright agrees with you. He says, Bissouma is a no-brainer, even at 15 in his top quality. We did watch him at Anfield that day. And you know what it was about? He didn't look like he was putting an awful lot of effort in, but he was fucking everywhere. And he won ball, he won headers, he won tackles, he won duels, you know, tussles, he picked passes, he turned out of, you know, tight situations, and all at the same time looked like he had a yard of space at all times. Yeah. It was really, really good. So that's what you're doing, Shawnee. If I said to you, you're in charge of Liverpool between now and the 24th of January, you don't give a fuck about outgoings. You just bang 50 million on the table for Ezra Sima and what? And
yeah. That's what you do, him. And I don't know about Bellingham in the summer, but if you can get Bellingham, you do him. Him, Bellingham, Bowen, I'd take your man Dennis from Watford. I think he's one that will definitely kick on. And I was looking him up. He's a pressing machine, your man Dennis. He's an animal in the front line. And that's the tree you look at. Yeah. And we're infinitely better. And then you give Henderson takes Milner's spot in the squad, so on so forth. You could push probably one, two from the academy then. That's just what you've got to do. You move one or both of Ox and Keita on. And that's what you do. But Basuma is the one that we should be doing now. But we're not going to buy anyone, Gavin, yeah, this winter.
Guzmo would like Tchouaméni.
Never seen him play. I heard loads about
Keith,
him.
Keith is a big fan of him. David Reid says he's an all-action midfielder, runs games by himself at Brighton. He has everything we are hoping Keita and Henderson will be this season. I think he'd be unbelievable for Liverpool in that position where Harvey Elliott played earlier in the season. Because he would... We're looking for the left side of that midfield, like in a Thiago to control. He could play there, okay?
Yeah.
You're looking at Fabinho to protect. I think Bazuma could play there as well, particularly in a two. And if you put him in that eight where you went, listen, I want you to do all the work you're doing, but you freed him to go forward because of the way we play, he'd be sensational. I'm not going to give away the four names I think we should sign until...
People are saying Saka,
great, Johnny.
He's magic. And you know what? He really is good. But I'm going to say something to you now, and you might not all agree me. You'd be mad to leave Arsenal now. Yeah. And I tell you why. I genuinely tell you why. If it doesn't work out for Arteta, the level that they're operating now, they will bring in a world-class manager and all of that team, that agent together. And I know people don't rate Ben White. I think he's a brilliant player. You've Smith Rowe. You've Saka there, you've that lad Lokonga, you've Martinelli. That team, they're going to age together. They will win things. And I wouldn't be jumping out of Arsenal now at the moment.
I think...
Not to be back... I know you hate the word backup, but he would be backup. Saka would be backup.
I think it all depends if they get Champions League. Because I think Saka's got to a level now where he wants to play Champions League football. And that's the way it is. I think if they miss out this season, I think there's a strong chance... Somebody could go for him. I think he's brilliant.
Unbelievable.
I think he's absolutely so brilliant. Good. And I really
He ran the game last night.
He had a really good game. I really like the guy at Villarreal, Dan Juma. I really like him.
Class.
Yeah, really like him.
But again, Gav, this comes down to where scouting. We should have been nipping him off Bournemouth.
Yeah. But in fairness, he's kicked on massively at Villarreal, in my opinion. He has.
Loads of shouts for Rafinha. Love him as a player. I do, but my only worry about Rafinha is that he seems to be solely only able to play off the right.
Yeah, and that's
Mo's space. If you're going to be spending, I really like that. I know some of the lads have Diaz looks the dog's knackers.
Well, I don't know anything of Diaz. I've seen him twice against Liverpool. I thought he was poor when he went away to Porto. I thought he was better at Anfield when they really put the emphasis on getting the ball to him. I thought he was good. But now you mention Rafinha. Leeds Live, a website called Leeds Live, are reporting that Rafinha is in contract talks with Leeds to renew a contract. He signed there in October 2020. There was links to Bayern Munich in December that he may move there maybe January or the summer. But of course, they've renewed Kingsley Coman and they're looking to do the same with Serge Gnabry. So Rafinha apparently is in contract talks with Leeds. And of course, if he does sign that deal, you're definitely looking at 60 plus million on his head.
Yeah, he's out of their price.
Yeah, so there you go. So Shawnee's doing Basuma. And do you know what? I'll go along with you. If you offer me Basuma now for 50 million, I would absolutely take it. So that is that. Loads of people are throwing in... Why Bowen, says Harry Huntington. Bowen's been really good for West Ham.
Bowen presses, brilliant on the ball, brilliant finisher. Literally made to play for Liverpool. And I'll be honest with you, when we were linked in the summer, I was kind of going, but having watched him since, he's a brilliant player. He's an absolute nuisance. Honestly, he's really, really good. He surprised me. And I wouldn't be surprised if this time next year he's coming off the back of a tournament with England at the World Cup, because I do think he's really, really good. Two players that I never, him and Declan Rice, who I had no time for Declan Rice until this season, who's proved me wrong. So,
It's an interesting one, but lots of people have thrown in decent names there. I think the Basuma shout is good. If he wants Champions League football and Liverpool want to get him, now is probably the time to do it. I know he's a year left in the summer, but I think the summer opens it up to so many more clubs when they see where they've got, when they have the, you know, like, let's say an Arsenal make the Champions League. They go, do you know what? Let's go in and get Basuma. Whereas now they go, we don't know if we can do it yet, you know, because he wants Champions League football, or he wants an agreement on something. Whereas Liverpool could go in and go, yeah, we'll get Champions League football. So here you go. Bang, there's the money. So it is.
I think Arsenal will go big if they get Champions League, because it's make or break sort of for them owners. Like, they need to get in there, because there's lads with billions waiting to buy them, you know, and they want that. And look, it just shows how willing they are to pay Bleeding Vlahovic mental money, even though he doesn't want to go there. So on the other side of the coin, you've got to be careful, because they could end up Barcelona, and that is the truth. So
if you keep pumping that amount of money in, you don't get top four, you're pissing against the wind. And no matter how rich the Arsenal owners are, they are quite rich, very rich. They will look at it and go, listen, and as I said a couple of days ago on one of the shows, it's a business at the end of the day. We can all be romantic about football, but it's not like it used to be, where it was on every Saturday and everyone loved the game and, you know, there was fuck all money in it compared to what it is now. But it's a business now. And if they look at it and go, hold on, we're spending all, we could literally take all this fucking money and piss off somewhere. Because we're not getting that back. So, that's it with 90% of the clubs, 95% of the clubs now. That other 5% absolutely, you know, tip the scales in their favour. Key Plunkett mentions Diabala. The talk on Diabala is that Juventus aren't
going
his contract. Yeah,
he's gone. He doesn't want to renew.
Yeah,
he'll end up at Barca, I'd say.
Yeah, he'd end up. Yeah, I think you're right. I think he'd end up somewhere like that. I think that's about it for today. Loads of good names coming in there for with regards to what you would do in January. 30 odd minutes in, which is what's spot on. Before I go, the Sports Unplugged show with Kev and Chris tonight. They're going to look forward to Liverpool v Brentford, and they're going to look at the AFCON. Sadio Mane versus Naby Keita later on today in the AFCON, isn't it? Senegal, yeah. Guinea. So go and check that out as well. And check out the lads tonight. Get a few drinks, sit down, put the lads on the telly, and they'll chat around Liverpool, Brentford, they'll chat around the AFCON, and you can sit back and have a beer or just chill out. You might light a Yankee fucking candle instead of a beer, I don't know. But go and check that out. With regards to this show, we'll be back on Monday.
Red Steve is a bollocks.
There's more chance of me winning a game of fleece, no fleece, than Liverpool signing any of these lads. I'm warm today, you know what I mean? So listen, leave me alone, will you? Fuck's sake, every day it's about me jumper or me t-shirt. But with regards to this show, we'll be back on Monday at 2 o'clock. And I'd just like to thank everyone, because this is the second week of doing it. We're 10 shows in. We genuinely thought no one would watch, interact, comment, like, do anything. We said we'd give it a bash and see how it goes. But it's been absolutely, like, beyond what we thought it would be when we started this 2 weeks ago. So it's on now, the game. What score is it? Let me know what score it is. I thought I just have 4 o'clock in my head for the AFCON every day.
This broadcast is brought to you by Yves Bazuma propaganda. That's what this channel is now, Yves Bazuma propaganda, until he signs for someone else and we have to pretend we don't like
him. Yves Bazuma ultras. But yeah, no, listen, thanks a million for all the support over the last 2 weeks. We will be back on Monday. Make sure on your way out to hit the like button. Subscribe if you haven't already. Hit the share and put it across your social media. And don't forget, 40 plus shows per month free on YouTube and across all your podcast apps. Shawnee, anything else before we go?
Yeah, like the video for this fucking warhorse beside me, because without him, the whole chip sinks. So the least you can do is like the video, drop the comment, share the subscribe, because that's what keeps us going. The fella is an absolute bleeding warhorse. That's all I can say.
And the comments afterwards, when it's over, if you watch the video back and you want the comments, stick the comments in, because we read them all. We read every single one of them. There's a couple of us have, you know, go in there every day and check and see what's there. And it gives us ideas for shows as well. That's it. Talk to you in a bit. Over and out. Sports Social Podcast Network.